This is Conor Lennon from the United Nations. The UN is working in Iraq on many fronts, including assisting the rebuilding of northern areas devastated during the war against ISIL terrorists, says the UN resident and humanitarian coordinator there. Marta Rudas cites the World Bank and Iraq government in estimating that reconstruction will cost $88 billion, but just over $1 billion has been received so far. It's a drop in the ocean, she said, while acknowledging that international funding has already helped to improve the situation for millions of people. In a recent visit to UN headquarters in New York, she spoke to Liz Scafidi and began by addressing the recent political upheaval across Iraq, which has seen thousands of protesters killed and wounded.
The same thing is happening in many other countries. And what you have is one thing that sparks a negative response from the population. And that somehow opens the floodgates to the discontent with how things are. And so it becomes something much greater than what was at the origin. What was at the origin in Iraq was a protest against the firing of a very popular general. Now we've had over a month of massive street protests where they are demanding the resignation of the government, a change in the constitution, a change in the electoral law, all sorts of fundamental changes. And the government is not really engaging very strongly with the demonstrators on that as yet. So there's a lot of discussion politically at the moment in Baghdad. That occupies the mission, UNAMI, on the political front quite a bit. For us, on the development and humanitarian front, it means we don't really have a government to engage with because they're occupied with this. But on the other hand, our work is so much focused in the north, where ISIL left all these scars. And there, the protests have not erupted. And so we are still carrying on with our work over there. We still have 1.5 million people displaced from the war against ISIL. So there's not a shortage of things to do and still huge reconstruction needs.
The UN is supporting Iraq in many different ways.
In many different ways.
Maybe you can mention a few?
Well, I mentioned the displaced population. So this 1.5 million people requires humanitarian assistance. About 500,000 of them are in camps, but the rest of them are outside of camp. And they still require some sort of support with access to basic services like health and education, psychosocial support and water, sanitation, all of this. There's a line of activity that is essentially working to help on the reconstruction of the infrastructure that was damaged by the war. So we're talking about water plants, electricity plants, schools, hospitals. The World Bank and the government estimated the reconstruction needs at $88 billion. In the UN, we've had contributions of a little bit over $1 billion. So it's a drop in the ocean. But even so, we've really had a chance to improve the situation for millions of people. Just with that 1 million. And then, of course, there is a range of development activities that are working to restart the economy, to get the capacities of the government up and running, to work on the longer term development objectives, the SDGs, yeah, the Sustainable Development Goals, to try to make sure that Iraq goes out of a crisis path and more into a development path. But now with the demonstrations, I'm not sure where we're going, to be honest.
So you mentioned the World Bank. What other UN agencies do you work with?
We have a good bunch of agencies. Altogether, between the ones that are on the ground and the ones that are non-resident but come in, it's 27. So it's quite a lot of agencies.
All UN?
All UN, yeah, I know. You wouldn't think there would be that many, but there are. The ones that are big and everybody recognizes, like UNICEF, UNHCR, WFP, UNDP, they're all there. And then some of the smaller, more focused ones like UN Environment Program, the World Health Organization, the Organization on Drugs and Crime is there. It's a lot of specialized attention as well. ILO, the International Labor Organization, they're just setting up shop. So it's quite a varied presence.
Does the UN work with other countries or non-governmental organizations there?
Sure. There are a lot of NGOs working in Iraq. For the most part, the international NGOs are based up in the north because they have been focused on the reconstruction, on the post-conflict work. But we work a lot with them on that. A lot of the funding, for example, that is channeled through the UN is implemented by NGOs. So we have really a very, very close collaboration with them. And with national NGOs as well.
How many local staff do you have?
About 80% of the UN's staff is local. I'm averaging. So yeah. Sometimes it's way more and sometimes it's a little bit less. But by and large, the bulk of our staff is local.
Do they speak English or another common language? Or do you speak Arabic?
The ones that are office staff, mm-hmm. they have to speak English because they will be engaged with headquarters or whatever. But if it is, let's say, project staff, for example, I told you about the stabilization program that works on infrastructure reconstruction. A lot of the national staff in that program does not speak English, nor do they need to. They are working with electrical plants, and that is something that can be managed entirely in Arabic.
How important do you think it is to employ local people?
Absolutely. I mean, it's one of the strengths of the UN, actually, if you compare it to bilateral governments. We have by far more local staff and over a far broader geographic area than anybody else. And that gives us far closer knowledge of what is happening, far greater contact with the authorities at various levels, just a far greater reach.
You've been speaking mostly about the UN's work in the north. What about the UN Assistant Mission for Iraq, UNAMI? What is their main focus?
UNAMI works across a broad range of political areas as a first point in their mandate. For example, the mediation that is taking place between the government and the demonstrators and so on, that's a very active area for UNAMI because, for example, one of the demands of the demonstrators is a change in the electoral law. One part of UNAMI's responsibilities is electoral assistance. So we have a whole group of people there dedicated to providing that kind of support, that kind of advice. Another demand is a change in the constitution. So we've just brought in constitutional experts to engage with all of them to see how that might go about. These kinds of things are fundamentally part of UNAMI's mandate, never more so than now, but in general. So we have been providing electoral assistance for some time. We've been providing support on mediation in various different locations, but they also have a responsibility in certain areas with respect to the SDGs as well. So that's why it's an integrated mission, which is to say that in my functions as resident coordinator, which is development, and humanitarian coordinator, which is humanitarian, obviously, I bring that to the table of UNAMI in my role as DSRSG, Deputy Special Representative of the Secretary General. I am the deputy in UNAMI for development and humanitarian because of my roles as resident and humanitarian coordinator, and I bring that to the overall package.
Sounds like you wear a few different hats.
That's why they call us the triple hats.
The triple hats, they
yeah,
do.
Yeah.
So one is development, one is humanitarian.
And the other one is DSRSG. The Deputy Special Representative of the Secretary General.
How do you deal with all this? It sounds like an awful lot.
Yeah, it's a juggling act. But I mean, it's in the title. It's coordinator, right? Resident coordinator, humanitarian coordinator. You'd coordinate the activities of the various different agencies. It's a balance between setting a vision and trying to get the agencies to work in that direction and then just delegating to do that and then monitoring. I mean, you're right, it is difficult.
Your fourth hat, negotiator.
Yeah, juggler.